Okay, we'd like to welcome everybody to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are currently studying the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, and we are in chapter 15. It's a short chapter, so I will go ahead and read it, and then we'll go back and look at it. Chapter 15 of the book of Revelation. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple, the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And now I'm going to continue on with the first verse of chapter 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. I just felt like that kind of fit more like into chapter 15. And we see that sometimes when we study the scriptures. Okay, back to the first verse of chapter 15. John is having this vision. It says he saw another sign. Now, John is very careful to let us know when there are signs and when he's seeing something literally. So he's seeing a sign in heaven. Mm-hmm. He's seeing these seven angels having these seven plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. So when they're done with these bowls, the wrath of God will be completed.
So it's over with until and then the millennial reign. Is that right?
Or right after that, of course, we have the second coming.
Yeah,
exactly
then,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then he says, and I saw something like a sea of glass. In other words, that's what it looked like to him, mingled with fire. Now, what we think this represents is let me go ahead and finish. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. So this is talking about the people who were martyred in that second half after the Antichrist demanded that everybody worship him and also take that mark. And so it says they have victory over that. They might have been tempted. Times may have gotten extremely rough. They might have feared for their lives, and they might have given up and taken the mark. But they did not do that. They had victory over him. They did not worship him. They did not worship his image, and they did not take the mark, which had the number of his name. And so they were victorious in the fact that they didn't give in. They didn't succumb to what he wanted them to do.
So would it be just the martyrs, or is it all the tribulation saints?
No, this would be just the martyrs. They were actually martyred, and they did not. Now, the others, you're right, the others won victory over it too by getting to the end, but we're not at the end yet. And these are the ones that would rather give up their lives than take the mark. But it's true, by the time you get to the end of the tribulation, yes, we'd have to include those people that made it to the end. They didn't die, but they made it to the end without having to do any of that. But this particular group, is talking about the martyrs. And notice the sea of glass mingled with fire. Now that would be, the sea of glass is like purity, but mingled with fire, that would mean the what they went through, the tribulation that they went through, the problems that they went through, having to come to this point. And the reason, Terry, that I don't want it right now, I don't want to include the others that get to the end, because this group is standing on a sea of glass, which is in heaven, having the harps of God. So they're in heaven. And so that's how we know they're the martyrs, because they've passed on, they've gone to heaven. Now it says that they sing the song of Moses. Now, if you look that up, that song of Moses is in Exodus chapter 15. Let's go back there to Exodus, second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 15. The first 21 verses. Exodus 15. Now, what this is all about is they have gone across the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his soldiers tried to follow, and the sea came back on them and destroyed them. And so God saved the Hebrew people that way, saved them from Egypt, and this is a song of victory. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason is different, but it's similar. There are certain verses here that are similar.
Yeah.
For instance, let me just read that first part. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, now we skip down to 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. Then it starts talking about the chariots and different things. So if you drop down to 7, and in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. And that's what's happening in Revelation. And then if we skip to verse 11. Yes, a very long song. Verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? And then the very last, well, the 18th, verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. So those apply to both of the Psalms, talking about that. So what this is a song of victory. Just as there was a song of victory for them getting across the Red Sea, this is a song of victory that these martyrs are singing because they did not give in to temptation and were willing to be martyred for all that. And so this is their song. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. And so, you know, Jesus is going to be the King of the saints. Okay. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Now, we know that in the millennial kingdom, that's what's going to happen. All the nations are going to come and worship God. They're going to make pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And because of the judgments that are going to happen now, the bold judgments, they're going to happen. Then the millennial kingdom is going to start, and these nations are going to come and worship. So I made a little note here. It's as good as done, okay? They haven't even opened the first bowl yet, but they're saying here in their song, it's going to happen. And once these judgments are over with, then we're going to have this kingdom, and all these nations are going to come and worship before you. They're saying it like it's already happened, that it's still in the future. But when God declares something, it is just like it's already happened. I mean, you know, it's as good as done, even though it's in the future. And so I thought that was really neat. Then he says, after these things, I looked and behold the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And that's important, that in heaven, because in my studies, some of the scholars seem to think that some of this is the temple on earth. It is not. It's a temple in heaven. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and that is right, a symbol of righteousness, mm-hmm. and having their chests girded with golden bands, and that's a symbol of authority. Now, this is similar, J. Vernon and some of the others said, well, this is similar to what the priests wore in Israel, but it's not everything. The priest's garments were more complicated than that, but these things were part of it, so it's not a full garment. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God. Remember last week we mentioned that it wasn't going to be diluted. It wasn't going to be mixed. This is the pure stuff. And they're going to get all of it. Who lives forever and ever. Then it says the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Now, here's a good example. Under that verse 8, my study Bible has a little A. So I go down there and I look at that, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different references. Or one, that was B. So 6 different references. And I looked them all up, and the first one and the last one, Exodus 19:18 and Isaiah 6:4. So, Terry, would you go to Exodus 19:18? And Fauna, would you go to Isaiah 6:4? And we'll look at that. Now, the others I looked at did not say anything about smoke. It was a cloud. They talked about a cloud. But these two should say something about smoke. Have you found Exodus, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, would you read that, please?
Mm-hmm. It said, all of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire.
Yeah, and so...
Hang on, I'm not done. And the smoke bellowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln. K-I-L-N.
Yeah, kiln.
And the whole mountain shook violently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the weird thing about that word smoke, when we think of smoke, we usually think of something negative and something dirty and polluting and everything. Mm-hmm. But the smoke from God is actually the glory of God and the power of God. So we want to kind of erase our own, you know, meaning that we have of smoke and think of this smoke being the glory of God. Fauna, do you have yours?
And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Okay. And so there again, those are two nice references to show this relationship between smoke and the glory of God. So it says, smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And when I was studying this, one of the guys I was studying said that, like, these people on earth couldn't go in the temple. Well, it's not on earth. It's in heaven. And so even the heavenly creatures were not allowed to go into the temple until these plagues were done. And this is why I wanted to add the first verse of 16. Then I heard a loud voice in the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God. Where?
Upon the earth.
On the earth. So if the angels were on the earth, they couldn't pour it on the earth. They have to be above the earth to pour it down over the whole earth.
Well, I have a question.
So again, they're in heaven.
I've lost somewhere. I'm lost here. Because is this temple mentioned anywhere else?
Yeah.
It is? Where is it mentioned? Mm-hmm.
I think it's in... I think it might be even chapter one, perhaps. I'll have to go back and look at that.
Well, I didn't know there was a temple in heaven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, when God instructed Moses to make the tabernacle, he said, make it according to that which is in heaven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there it said, Lord says a revelation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I want to show you one more thing. There's a reference here to 2 Thessalonians 1:9. I want to show you something that used to be a problem for me trying to figure it out. Let's see. I want to read a couple things here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Let me back up to verse 6. Back up to verse 6. Okay? Mm-hmm. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the second coming. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So a lot of people don't realize how much prophecy is in 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians. There's a lot there. Obviously, this is talking about the second coming of Christ. Now, just want to mention something else here. In chapter 2, this used to be a problem for me, and the Holy Spirit straightened it out.
But now, you're still in 2 Thessalonians.
Yeah, still
right?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
This is on
now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the second coming, mm-hmm. and our gathering together to him, that's the rapture. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Okay, so these people were worried because people were telling them that the second coming had already come and they had missed it. And he says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is just like we're seeing in Revelation.
Okay.
Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time? In other words, it's not time for the Antichrist yet, he's telling them.
Mm-mm.
For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Mm-hmm. Only he who now restrains the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. So he's saying, I don't want you to worry about that, because all this is not going to happen until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. And how is the Holy Spirit taken out of the way? Holy Spirit's in us. When the rapture of the church occurs, Holy Spirit in us is taken out of the way. Now, it's true that God is omnipresent. God's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit is still on the earth, mm-hmm. but his restraining power is not there anymore, because we are the restraining power working through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, don't worry about this. When someone tells you the second coming has come, or the second coming is coming next week, he said, don't worry about that. Okay. So they were concerned about the second coming, and they knew that before that they were supposed to be gathered together. And so if someone said the second coming was going to arrive or had arrived, they thought, we missed it.
Now, you went over this one time in your sermon or in Sunday school or something, this great rebellion, which is the falling away, right? There in
yeah.
verse
mm-hmm.
3,
mm-hmm.
which means
apostasy. Apostasy. Uh-huh. That's right. And that's when, basically, generally speaking, most of the whole world falls away from
right.
God.
Right. But see, a lot of people think this is talking about us, that the believers can fall away.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, he's talking about, now there's going to be, the church itself is going to fall away, but they're not true Christians, the ones
yeah,
I'm
right,
talking about.
Right,
sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely. But where it can be really confusing there was when it says the coming of our Lord and the gathering, that's not the same event. It's talking about two separate things.
Right, the rapture is the gathering.
The gathering, of, right,
yeah.
right. And if you try to equate those two phrases, it gets you in trouble.
Well, I know.
Yeah, for sure.
From what I understand, who was that guy? I've got to read it. Anyway, here in 1 Thessalonians, after the rapture, then you can go, then it goes into the second coming, and then it could be the tribulation all there at the same time.
Yeah, it's all in there. It's really... amazing. Thessalonians is fantastic.
Yeah.
It really is. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for this study. Short chapter, Lord, but there's a lot in it. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide us and that we can glean from these pages exactly what you would want us to, and help us to understand, dear Lord, and to keep remembering all these other things that's happened. We know that it's difficult to understand. There's a lot of references. There's a lot of other places in the scripture, Lord, that we need to look at. And we just pray that we can do that and you can help us with that. And we just thank you ahead of time for all that you do for us and will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.